You are listening to Packers Talk Radio Network. Packers Talk.
Just so you know, I received an email this week which said that Packers Talk Podcast is the number one download in Sierra Leone.
Hey, can we actually make... I'm adding that to the end.
Thank you. You mean the one guy with the internet in Sierra Leone is a Packers fan?
Yes.
Number.
You're listening to the best Packer radio show on the internet.
Cheesehead Radio.
I want to be a lifetime Cheesehead. Green Bay Packer.
You're looking good today.
So let's go out there with that ass.
Aaron Rodgers is the best football player I've ever seen, ever.
Aaron Rodgers rolling deep on second and two. He's got a leap in Devontae Adams.
He's the best.
Defense is going to give a lot of teams struggles. We got a defense. Once again, we got a defense.
Cheesehead Radio.
Hello again, Cheesehead Nation. We are back with another episode of Cheesehead Radio, now in our 11th season. Your trio of hosts tonight are the reassured Kelly Hodgson, that Packer girl on Twitter. Also joining us is the tanned and relaxed C. D'Angeli, known as Tundra Vision on Twitter, and little old me, Jersey Al of Packers Talk and Cheesehead TV. You can find me at Jersey Al GBP on Twitter. That's the introductions for tonight. Let's get to the Packers playbook.
The playbook.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Victory Wednesday here on Cheesehead Radio.
Ta-da!
Packers beating up on the 49ers. A little bit of satisfaction there after the playoffs last season, guys. Yes.
Who said you can't get no satisfaction? Huh?
A win is still a win. I don't care if it was the JV squad.
We got our stinking satisfaction.
When the Packers play the Niners, Rodgers is always looking for retribution. Did you guys know that the Niners turned him down in the draft, or passed him over in the draft? I didn't know that until that game.
Ooh, isn't that like a requirement that every time those two teams play that they have to talk about that? I think it's in the contract somewhere.
It is
in the contract. Yeah,
they have to show the picture of Aaron just like losing his mind as he's plummeting
in the green
draft.
Room. Yeah.
So you might say we beat up on a JV team last year.
You might say that.
I might.
They were totally a JV team, and I don't care.
But a win is a win is a win, as we like to say. You know, that is, and I'll touch on this later on in my Hot Pocket, but that is kind of the story of this season. You know, everyone is getting hit by COVID, and it was interesting that they did not call this game off.
Yeah, interesting's a word for it.
Dangerous, perhaps. reckless is our other words. But
reckless is what I was thinking, something along those lines, or pick your synonym.
But yet they took off Wednesday, flew to the West Coast.
Yeah,
stopping us now.
Yeah, they even left as late as possible on Wednesday night. I think they didn't take a 4:10 flight out of Green Bay to get to the West Coast.
And they were giving the NFL all day to say, nah, let's not do this. But they totally did it.
Well, maybe next time they fly to San Francisco, they should do the same thing.
But, I was thinking, and obviously our running back core was decimated. Luckily, we just happened to get back, the best running back in the league to take their place, so that was kind of nice. But there's a point where even as the 49ers organization, and I even predicted this on Sunday after the game, I said, I'll bet you the 49ers are going to have a case of COVID, because we knew that Garoppolo was out and Kittle was out. I'm like, if we suddenly have COVID, I'll bet you they'll delay the game until we get all our guys back and healthy. Well, they did get COVID, and then they lost those guys, and then they still played the game. So it's weird because the NFL, in canceling and postponing some games, but not postponing others, they're kind of picking some winners and losers, because I don't know how the 49ers came into this game and really had a chance to win.
Yes, but it was Thursday night football, CB.
Yes, and they've canceled Thursday night football, and they moved it to Monday or Tuesday. Yeah,
they moved it. They didn't cancel it.
Right. Right. They canceled it on Thursday night. But well, I'm saying most, they postponed
most likely
it.
They didn't get the same ratings that night, so they decided we're not going to do that again.
So that's the name of the money in ratings will be reckless with one team and really hand the 49ers a loss, whereas maybe had they postponed it to Tuesday and they had some of their players back, that would have been a much closer game.
I don't think so.
No, they were still the JV squad.
There was nobody coming back that was that important. The people they've lost are out that really matter are out for the season or out for multiple games. So,
and I think if they had Garoppolo in there, I don't think the outcome would have been the same. I think it would have been exactly the same. We would have walloped them.
Ah, confidence. I love it.
Hey, a win is a win. There are no style points this year. If you can make it to the game and actually have more points than the other guys in the COVID season, it's still considered a win. I will take it.
So speaking of cheap wins.
Cheap wins.
Coming up this Sunday is going to be the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yeah.
It's another JV team we get to play again 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah, but this one could actually potentially be a trap game, so I'm not going to be totally obnoxious about it until we win it.
Not a JV team. I mean, they're not a good team, but you know they've played a few teams close.
This is like Ohio State playing like Valparaiso. Technically, they're both Division Ones, but one team, like, and I'm making fun of my own alma mater, by the way, has no right being there.
Well, who else would make a Valparaiso reference but somebody who went there? So we knew that.
Jeff Janis might have made a reference because his college walloped mine long before he went to college, 91-0.
91-0.
I am totally serious. 1989, Grand Valley State walloped Valpo, 91-0. There was no mercy rule. We just got pounded into the next century.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Getting back on track.
Moving on. Our offensive line. David Bakhtiari misses another game. Obviously, probably the consensus number one left tackle in the game right now. We have been shuffling around this line, and it seemed like this Thursday, we finally got a combination that really kept Aaron Rodgers, for the most part, upright. Have we figured it out?
Have we figured out that we can throw people anywhere on the line and we seem to be okay?
If that's what it takes.
I think that's what we have figured out. I mean, to have guys like Jenkins and Turner, and in this particular case, Jenkins played three positions in the game. To have guys like that, and, you know, for the offensive line, which is supposed to be, you know, a unit that requires the most consistency and you know, always together as a group, for them to play the way they have is really kind of unusual. So yeah, I think Packers have something a little special here.
They've tried to do this in the past, like when somebody would go down, let's have a utility player that can play anything. And, you know, 2 or 3 years ago, that didn't work well. This is the first time where I feel confident that you move somebody around and they can actually play the position well.
Well, interchangeability along the offensive line has long been something. Even going back to the... even back to the Thompson era, they loved having those guys that can move around. And I was always one who kind of said, no, let's just get like a big stud left tackle. It was born and designed to play left tackle. And of course we had that in David Bakhtiari, but yeah, once he's gone, it's nice to have these guys that we can kind of move to left tackle or move to right tackle. And they're playing okay. You know, Aaron Rodgers, obviously playing within the offense. He's getting back in the pocket, shifting around just enough, getting the ball out, using the misdirection, you know, scheming guys open. You don't have to sit and protect for him for 7, 8, 9 seconds like we would have, you know, the past couple seasons. So it's really a good, not only a mix of the guys that we have along the offensive line, it's how the offense is playing to maximize those guys on the line.
Cannot disagree.
I can't either. The fact that we finally have a running game after many years, I think really helps that as well, because it isn't just throw their biggest meat at Aaron Rodgers and hope he falls down anymore.
Speaking of our running game, we're going to get a bunch of guys back for our game this upcoming week. Off the COVID list, Jamal Williams will be back, so that'll bring our two-headed monster back into the backfield. Although, my goodness, is my man Swervin' Irvin sure establishing himself lately. That's awesome. Kamal Martin, Jordan Love, thank goodness, will be back to hold that clipboard. Interestingly enough, AJ Dillon is not back. And if I'm correct, he was the guy who tested positive.
Right.
And I would be thinking that would have been a shorter timeout than the guys who were being quarantined.
All right. Mm-hmm. If I had to get a crystal ball, I would suspect he actually has some symptoms then. Because once you test positive, most protocols, if you look at public health, is 10 days after your symptoms start to improve. And we're already heading towards that window because the other guys have been released. So either he's still symptomatic or he's not feeling good, which makes you symptomatic, I guess.
Right.
But I don't know. Packers have not said anything, but that's what I'm going to speculate, is he actually has COVID, not just he tested positive.
Because in my experience, if you're positive, it's 10 days. And if you're close contacted, it's 14 days.
It's 14 days, yes.
But yeah, but the guys who run 14 days are coming back, but A.J. Dillon is not. So you're right.
The 10 days is the beginning of your improvement of symptoms in most protocols.
Oh, I did not know that. All right. So anyway, Marquez Valdes-Scantling has been the topic of ire and hope and disappointment on the show for I don't know how long. And I remember watching him in the game because I actually just had to watch it last night. And I'm watching and he's like dropping these passes, ridiculous, easy mental mistakes he's doing that are just destroying plays. Rodgers is barking at him on the sidelines, and I'm getting ready to write an article that's just going to absolutely bury this guy once and for all. And then he catches two of the prettiest touchdowns you're ever going to see. He's the new Chris Carter, if you remember him from the Vikings many years ago. Chris Berman said all he does is catch touchdowns. Is that who MVS is now? Is he our new just catch touchdowns because he's not doing anything else?
Well, maybe
if he's the new Chris Carter, I think we would certainly take that since Chris Carter is in the Football Hall of Fame. But more to your point, if all he does is catch touchdowns, well, we'll take that too, won't we?
Yeah, he'll be the guy that vexes you most of the game and you want to throw something at the TV screen and CD wants to write a War and Peace essay on why MVS stinks. But the fact that Rodgers went to him twice in the end zone tells me, I guess that all we need to know is he may frustrate us all, but Aaron Rodgers trusts him.
Yeah, I mean, he keeps insisting that, you know, he has no qualms throwing to MVS. And while I doubt him sometimes, he is doing it, so I guess I shouldn't doubt him.
Are you trying to say that maybe we don't know more than the guys in the locker room, Al?
You know, don't say.
Or that maybe what they tell the media is one thing and what they really think is another thing is also possible.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the advantage that MVS does have is the fact that he has this straight ahead speed. You know, he's got that ability to create the separation on a straight line. And I think we definitely saw that. We saw he made one nice cut and boom, he was up the field and had a good 5 yards separation from the defender trying to cover him, which is great. But yeah, well, you know, when we are in a tight game and we need someone to bring up that that first down on a third and seven, we need that guy to make that catch too. So hopefully, and maybe we'll touch on this a little bit later in our segment, this is something that's going to improve if we end up making the playoffs.
Okay.
So speaking of maybe some help for wide receiver, I believe Kelly Hutchinson's favorite wide receiver,
the alien lizard,
might be making a comeback.
Well, he has to, or else he's not on the team next week. This is the end of the 3-week period where the Packers can activate him. Otherwise, I think they have to release him. Right? Isn't that the rule?
Is that the rule?
Yeah, something like that. I'm not a rules guy, but I think that's what happens. So you can anticipate Alan Lazard will be back on the field on this Sunday. They haven't announced it yet, but I think it's a pretty, pretty, pretty safe bet.
And nothing would make me happier to see, I guess, a little bit more of an expansive role. But once again, Aaron Rodgers is throwing lights out. I mean, what do we have, 142.8 quarterback rating with, you know, basically one wide receiver and MBS as maybe another half or catching touchdowns. I mean, this is just one more bullet in the gun, you know, for obviously Rodgers to do some damage with.
Yeah, and it's going to be good because now the person we talked about previously, MVS, now slides down to number 3 receiver, which fits him better. You know, the guy who can try to get the safeties deep or take the top off the defense while Devontae and Lazard are working the shorter to intermediate routes for the most part. So I think the three of them together like that is a good combination. So I'm certainly happy to see Lazard back for that reason.
And with that type of formation, Al, I think you have to commit a defender to cover MVS, even if he's the decoy, because of those touchdowns he keeps scoring. You don't know, the other team doesn't know if he's going to have a good day or a bad day, but when he's on, he scores a lot. So they have to cover him. So he's going to draw coverage off of Devontae or Lazard.
All right. So before we get into our hot pockets, I have a survey question. This is the halfway point of the Packers season. There's 6-2. Now, honestly, who would have predicted that?
Me.
Kelly, honestly, 6-2?
Maybe. I might have been more 5-3.
Yeah, I had them losing to the 49ers. Of course, that was before the Niners team got destroyed. And possibly the Saints.
I had them losing to the Saints.
Yeah, I think those are my two losses at this point.
And I had him losing to the Bucks because it was Brady. And that one I was right on, at least.
Yeah, I did not. I had them beating the Bucks. I wasn't a believer before the season.
But however, after last weekend.
Still might not be.
They might not be. I'm like, we lost to these losers? Really?
Yeah, while beating the Saints. I know.
Go figure. So we have this team. It's good. We have a potential MVP candidate in Aaron Rodgers, who's playing lights out. But the Packers did really well last year. I mean, 13-3, went to the playoffs, beat the teams that they seemed they could beat, but they just didn't seem to match up very well against the elite teams. The Packers have a good team. So here's a little survey, just spitballing here. What do the Packers have to have happen to really take that next step to make the Super Bowl, get into the Super Bowl, and win a Super Bowl? What has to happen between now and then?
What has to happen?
What do you think should happen or has to happen? Jeez Louise, Al. Just answer the damn question.
They have to win more games.
I knew that would get you. I couldn't help myself. So anyway, for me, it's get home field through the playoffs. Now, that's to get them into the Super Bowl, obviously. Once they're in the Super Bowl, that goes out the window. But make those teams, the better teams in the NFC, many of which will be dome teams or warm weather teams, make them come up to Green Bay in January and win an NFC championship game in January. That's their ticket. If I had to pick one thing.
Kelly.
A defense that is consistent. And by consistent, actually tackling every game, not checking out in the third quarter, and oh my God, a team that can consistently stop the run. That is our Achilles heel right now. That's what we need to overcome if we want to have a deep playoff run.
I think getting guys back and healthy is great too. I mean, I was watching this game and, you know, we got Josh Jackson starting at cornerback. You know, this is a guy who started the season was playing special teams only, and a guy that a lot of us have written off. So when you're losing Kevin King and you're losing Jair, those are big deals. But I think not only do those players have to come back, be healthy, you know, they, especially defensively, and I agree with Kelly on this, they've just got to have to get some level of cohesiveness that's really going to, I guess, bring a level of synergy to see them playing off each other. It was great to see Preston Smith showing up a little bit last week. Don't see that very often.
Or this year, we haven't seen that.
Yeah, exactly. One thing I think that's interesting, and I'll go back to your point, Al, if you look at the rest of the NFC, you know, there's some teams that we thought were going to be super uber powerhouses that, you know, they're struggling. 49ers are a great example. They're 4-5. You know, we had them penciled in as being the team we were probably going to have to go through. So then you've got, like, what, the Seahawks? They're 6-2, just like the Packers. You've got the Saints and maybe the Buccaneers, who are both 6-win teams. But, you know, there's no 8-0 teams right now in the NFC. There's no one who's really just uber head and shoulders, maybe the way Seattle and the 49ers were playing last year.
If you look at every one of the good teams, they've all had a super clunker loss.
Yeah, and that's what the NFL wants, right? That's what they want. They don't want Pittsburgh to be 8-0. You know, they want they want teams that are going to lose a game here or there for the spirit of competition and to keep fans interested of those lesser teams. And I don't mind it either. I like the fact that there are multiple teams in the NFC that we're battling. It kind of keeps you sharp and kind of keeps you always aware. I'm talking from a player's perspective now, always aware that, hey, every game that we play really matters here, you know, because these other teams are tied with us and they could prevent us from getting to where we want to get. So I think it's a good thing, competition-wise.
Now, I don't think the Saints have lost since we played them. Is that correct?
I'm not sure.
I think they're on 5 wins, and they absolutely
They're looking
crushed.
Good, actually.
They crushed the team that beat us, Tom Brady and the Buccaneers.
Which brings us back to how did we lose to those losers? Yeah, I know the answer, but it's just so frustrating to know that they got pounded by the Saints and we looked like morons playing them.
What's interesting then, let's say we do manage to get past a Seattle or New Orleans, you know, we bring them to Green Bay, we win at home, we're going to the Super Bowl. The AFC has some pretty strong competition this year. I mean, if you take a look at a 6-2 record, the only team in that's leading their conference in the AFC with a 6-2 record is the Titans. I didn't realize they're having a winning season.
No, they're having a spectacular season.
Yeah. And they're the weakest of the four division leaders. You got the Steelers who are 8-0. You've got the Chiefs who are 8-1. And of course, my favorite team outside of the Packers, the Buffalo Bills, having a great season at 7-2. You know, if we do make it to the Super Bowl, we've got some pretty stiff competition there as well.
Yeah, I was just thinking yesterday, it could very well be a rematch of the last Packers Super Bowl. It could very well be Packers-Steelers, and it would be a very tough game. And I think it would be tougher than it was back in 2011. I think this is a tougher Steelers team, and that's a team that actually gives me a little pause right now because they have both of the Watt brothers that aren't injury magnets. Ben Roethlisberger, you know, he's 108 years old, but he's still pretty accurate.
Didn't he just test positive for COVID, I think?
Oh, I didn't hear. Did he?
I thought I had read that somewhere yesterday.
I think he'll be over it by the Super Bowl, though.
Yeah, I know, but I'm just mentioning that.
The Steelers had only given up 161 points, so that's about one of the lowest in the league. That's about 20 points a game, so a very tough, stingy defense. Good matchup for the Packers, but speaking of past Super Bowls, how about Packers-Chiefs?
Yeah, go old school. Packers-Chiefs.
Rodgers versus Mahomes, old versus young. Quite a number of storylines there.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, Packers and Bills would be a great matchup, too. Josh Allen, guy who I really wanted the Packers to pick up a couple years ago, really developed into a great quarterback. So, yeah, I think the Packers may have an easier road to getting into the Super Bowl. I don't know if they have an easier road once they get there.
Yeah, I mean, we're only halfway through the season, you know, so it's any of those teams you mentioned could maybe not crash and burn, but, you know, go wayward over the other half of the season. Things can happen. They could have COVID problems, other injuries, et cetera. So your point is well taken, but who knows what's going to happen when we get to that point. If we get to that point, right? We're all just assuming that everything's just going to go along swimmingly the way it's going.
And, yeah, okay. Speaking of the COVID season,
yes.
Roethlisberger doesn't have COVID. He was just in a high-risk contact, so he's quarantined.
Okay. Got it.
So, but he's also along with Vince Williams, Jalen Samuels, and Gerald Hawkins. So they're suffering the same thing every team is. One guy brings it into a meeting, and everyone who sits near him has to now go into quarantine, or who right. shares a locker next door, however they're determining what the risk is.
Right.
So this, yeah, you're right. I think this could be a matchup, really fun matchups in the Super Bowl, but all it takes is an outbreak on a team, and a team that could be 8-1 could suddenly lose the next 3 or 4 games and suddenly is out of contention. So don't count your eggs before they're all hatched.
You guys are totally ruining my Hot Pocket.
Oh, did I? I'm so sorry.
It's okay.
I only wrote my Hot Pocket hours ago, and I'm like, well, okay, I gotta go do some.
Why'd you bring up the topic then?
Cover your ears and pretend no one heard anything, and then we're gonna go to Hot Pockets.
Come on.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, we've reached the point of the show where each of us get a final moment to get up on our soapbox and reach in the riot act of whatever's going on inside our heads right now. This is our Hot Pockets. And Jersey Al, we will start with you.
All righty. The Packers offense was certainly smoking on Thursday night. While the 49ers were missing some key players, unlike their offense, their defense was still an NFL caliber unit. The game marked the surprising return of Aaron Jones, which tells me the Packers were maybe a little more concerned about playing the 49ers than they were letting on. In any case, with Jones back in the lineup, something special happens, and this Packers offense takes on a whole new persona. Jones makes things so much easier for Rodgers, which in turn makes things easier for Davante Adams. While everyone says you don't pay running backs big money, and with the salary cap issues the Packers have, it's going to be hard to do, I do think Jones should be an exception. Jones has vaulted past Kevin King on my personal free agent re-sign priority list into a virtual tie with David Bakhtiari. Let's keep Jones a Packer for the remainder of Rodgers' career, at least. You have to find a way, Goody. And that is my
Hot Pockets.
It sounds really weird when you say Goody.
You don't like Goody?
Say Gutenkunst without like screwing cheese. It up either.
Yeah, Goody. I got to say Goody.
All right. So you read a few articles summing up the Packers' first half of the season and have pointed to their success in the face of all of these injuries. Now, look, a lot of our big-time players have missed time. Adams, Jones, Williams, Bakhtiari, Lazard, Clark, King, and now even Jair. And yet the Packers have fought their way to a 6-2 record against what some have called the most difficult schedule played so far by a team in the NFL this year. But if you're about to cry about how unfair the injury bug has treated us, let's take a long look at the NFL Europe team we played against last Thursday. The 49ers were a shell of their former selves, almost like playing a team in fantasy football that forgot to set their lineup and kept all their bye week players in. So yes, while a win is a win, the 2020 season is far more chaotic and unpredictable than any season. We could go into our game against the Lions in a few weeks, and maybe it'll be our quarterback sitting on the COVID list, and we walk away with an L in a game where a win was presumed. With potentially 8 teams making the playoffs in each conference, this may be one of the most exciting and strange postseasons we'll ever see. I sure hope it'll be the Packers hoisting the trophy at the end, but instead of a road to the Super Bowl, it seems a lot more like a maze. And that is my
Hot Pockets.
Can the media finally just admit that Aaron Rodgers is in the running for the MVP? Enough with this Russell Wilson and Tom Brady dog and pony show. They burp and fart like the rest of us, and when it comes to playing a clean game, Rodgers is head and shoulders above both of them. Brady lofts 3 interceptions. Let's come up with a whole host of excuses why he did it. Wilson floats up a few too, and he's just having a bad day. Aaron Rodgers throws 2 for the first time in, I don't know, a billion years, and you can hear Mike Florio rapidly typing away that Aaron Rodgers is washed up. Put him out to pasture or turn him into glue like an old racehorse long past his prime. 24 touchdowns, 2,253 yards, and 2 interceptions the entire year. Let me say that again, 2 interceptions this year. Yes, they were back-to-back in the same game. But who cares? Brady has 7. Wilson has 8. Enough with these two. The only competition I see at this point is Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City, who is statistically neck and neck with Rodgers. Quit the false narrative already. Rodgers, despite the critics, is very much still an elite quarterback. And don't be surprised if he picks up some more hardware at the end of the season. And that is my
Hot Pockets.
I love it when you get indignant.
Oh, God, I hate Mike Florio.
And offended.
Well, it's like they come up with these false narratives that just make me want to set my hair on fire. It's like,
yeah, and we're here for it. We love it.
Statistics, yes. People, let's look at the math.
We need to do a video podcast so we can watch this.
Right. And so she can light her hair on fire.
I'm not going to actually light my hair on fire. That would hurt. Oh. My cat tried to light his foot on fire yesterday with a candle.
There's always something random with you, Kelly.
I know. I heard that from my daughter. She's like, Mom, it smells like burnt hair up here. I'm like, what happened? She's like, the cat put his hand in the flame. I'm like, why did you let him do that?
Okay. And so, moving on.
Another fun bedtime story by Kelly.
Cheesehead Radio. Packer game predictions.
Okay. Coming back out of the rabbit hole. This is a kind of game you really, really hope everything just falls well into place for the Green Bay Packers. They're taking on the Jacksonville Jaguars. They're on a 7-game losing streak. And they're starting a rookie quarterback named, I don't even know because I've never heard of him. The Packers are 14-point favorites at home on Sunday versus the Jaguars. How is this going to go? Let's do this. Kelly, we're going to start with you.
Did we already have our trap game, or are we still due for one? I can't keep track. It's a home game and whatever advantages that holds the season. So that's a good thing. But the Jags are putrid. We're actually not really at this moment. So please, 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 please let Pluto align in Jupiter. Whatever has to be done so the Packers don't have a trap game. Packers 38, Jags 17.
Okay. I tried very hard to find something to worry about with this game. But whatever direction I took, I came to a dead end. Having said that, there are no guarantees in the NFL. So I'm hoping to God the Packers don't feel too comfortable this week. In the end, I'm picking the Packers to roll by a score of 33-13.
All right. I'm with Al, to be honest. I really want to be the harbinger of doom. I want to predict that they're going to lose and something's going to go wrong. But the only way I think that that is going to happen is if I end up predicting the Packers to win by a ton going away. So Packers 42, Jaguars 10. I just hope now I didn't jinx them.
I'm blaming you if they lose. You know that, right?
I predicted them to win.
Which is the jinx.
Thank you so much for joining us tonight on Cheesehead Radio, now in our 11th season, the number one Packers podcast in Sierra Leone. Make sure to head over to PackersTalk.com where you can explore several unique Packer podcasts. Please follow us at PackersTalkNet on Twitter and like us on Facebook. Cheesehead Radio and all Packers Talk podcasts are available on iTunes, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or your favorite podcatching app. Please use Siri, Alexa, or Google by saying, "Play Packers Talk Podcast." That's a wrap. Go Pack Go.
Cheesehead Radio.
Go Pack Go. Good night, all.
I think you actually have to say Packers Talk Podcast. Play
well,
Talk
it says
podcast.
Play Packers Polka Podcast.
You're actually going to just get the Packers Podcast.
Okay. Play Packers Talk Podcast. I don't know what happened if you would say Play Packers Polka Podcast. You might actually
I'm
going to
do that. We should try that.